welcome to the New Books in Political Science podcast. My name is Heath Brown, and today I have the author of John Lennon versus the United States of America, the inside story of the most bitterly contested and influential deportation case in United States history. The author of the book is Leon Wildes, and Leon's on the phone with us today. Mr. Wildes, how are you?
Fine. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to have read the book. You are an immigration attorney and the founding partner of Wildes and Weinberg, in addition to being an author of this very interesting book. I've been looking forward to talking to you about the book and what your experience was with John Lennon. I wonder if, before we start talking about what happened, if you would set the historical period for us. What were you doing before you took on this case? And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the political environment of immigration law and immigration policy at the time. So I wonder if you could take us back to the early 1970s just for a little bit.
At the time, I was practicing immigration law for at least about 15 years. And the practice of immigration law is generally we assist people to become lawful in the United States as permanent residents or in one temporary kind of visa status or another. And I had been very successful before I was referred to John Lennon and Yoko Ono by a fellow attorney. He indicated that he had a very important client and that while he could not assure me that I would be retained, he would certainly recommend me and take me to meet them. He indicated they did not generally go to lawyers' offices, so we would be visiting them in their apartment in Greenwich Village. And that's when I first met John and Yoko. Now, immigration law is a kind of specialty, and there are first-class lawyers in other fields who would never touch it, and there are people in the immigration field who have done very well with it, although it's very unusual. We do come across politics in our work. And occasionally, a case, because of the political situation of the clients, ends up in problems with the government if their political situation is not acceptable. John and Yoko had a view of the United States and its political situation, which was different from the feeling that the Nixon administration had. As a result, the moment the Nixon administration found out that they were involved, they decided to deny each and every application and get them out as soon as possible. I had come in for an extension of a visitor's stay for John and Yoko. The extension had a very humanitarian basis. Yoko had a child from a prior marriage, and that child was being kept away from her by the child's father. And it was several years since she had actually seen the child and chased the child around the world trying to catch up with them. But because they're so famous, every time they get to a city, it would be known, and he was gone again with the child. So as a result, they came to the United States and they started a custody and visitation proceeding in court here. And in fact, the father of the child started a different proceeding in another court. But both courts had already come to the conclusion that John and Yoko should have custody and that visitation should go to the father. Now, when I came in, they had only about a week or two left on their visitor's stay. And I was going to extend it and request an extension for 6 months. The moment the district director of immigration in New York found out that it was John and Yoko, he checked. He had full authority to rule on the application himself, nobody higher. But he checked with the commissioner's office in Washington, and they decided that they didn't want John and Yoko in the United States. And so he answered me. He said, Leon, because it's you, I'm going to give you a month. But you tell your clients that they'll never get another extension and that they better leave now.
Now, let me just ask you before you go on, because this is just such an interesting and controversial case during the time period. What were John Lennon and Yoko Ono like as clients? What was it like dealing with them during this time period? Were they good clients?
Yes, and they were very special people. He was delightful. I've never met such an interesting person, positive in every way. And Yoko, I found to be very, very smart. In fact, she seemed to have a sixth sense about what was going on around her, which even the political people didn't realize at the time.
Now, the case wound through the legal system, but was ultimately resolved on July 27th, 1976. How did the court ultimately rule on this case? What was the resolution of this very long and, I can imagine, quite painful legal proceeding?
Well, the problem in John's case with respect to getting residence for him was the fact that he had a conviction for possessing cannabis resin, that's hash. And there really was no way out for most cases in that respect. But we were able to convince the U.S. Court of Appeals for this district, the second district, that because of the situation of how he was arrested and so on, he did not have such custody of the drug that he should actually be held criminally responsible. There was no... What happened in England was highly unusual. An arresting officer at British police was out to get as many pop musicians as he could because he thought that they were corrupting British youth with their music. And as a result, he would come with his drugs and with his dogs to smell out the drugs, and he would bring the drugs, place them in wherever the person was, and arrest the person. And he had done that in many cases. Of course, it hadn't been discovered. We were lucky enough to find that it was discovered at the time that Lennon's problem came up in the United States. So we were watching.
Now, you argue in the book that this case was more than just a celebrity issue. How so? What were the larger issues at stake? And I wonder if you can talk about what is the legacy of this case of John Lennon versus the United States of America?
The legacy has to do with what John encouraged me to do and permitted me to do in the case. I have been convinced over the years that the American immigration system had a real heart. And because there were cases of very serious criminals who were supposed to be deported and weren't being deported, and there was never an explanation of that. Immigration was saying at all times that they were treating him like anybody else, and so they couldn't admit or wouldn't admit that they had such a program. But I sued the government under the Freedom of Information Act, demanding the cases, demanding access to the cases of others who had been arrested and were not removed from the United States, even if they were held deportable in proceedings. I was supplied with a large number of cases where that was, where that happened, and as a result, John asked me to publish and that my findings so that others who might not be able to litigate or to afford litigation costs would be as successful as he. And that's what I did. It resulted in 5 full law review articles with hundreds of footnotes and so on, where I complied with his desire that we let other lawyers and other potential cases know that the government does have a heart and that not every criminal case resulting in deportation is going to end up being removed from the United States. And that is, I think, the legacy of the case. And if you recall, President Obama came before the United States Supreme Court. He had established a program for young children who were brought to the United States below the age of 16, and that was successful, allowing them to get driver's licenses and register for college and do a lot of things that, because they were totally illegal, they weren't able to do. He gave them employment authorization, allowed them to travel out of the state and come back and so on. And that helped about 80 to 100,000 children. And then the president tried to do it for the parents of American children, which might have covered as many as 4 or 5 million illegals. With respect to that, the court in Texas ordered the case held, and as a result of the fact that we only have 8 justices in the Supreme Court at this time, there was a split decision, and he never got permission to do that. But that is all the aftermath that grew out of the Lennon case as a result of our research there.
Well, I suspect that John Lennon and Yoko Ono would both be proud of this book that you've written, John Lennon versus the United States, The Inside Story of the Most Bitterly Contested and Influential Deportation Case in United States History. The book was published by Anderwick in 2016. Leon Wiles, thank you very much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.